Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What are you drinking? Vinny. Cake bread, Chardonnay. Haney, Michultra. Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
I feel good with the process in the sense that everybody was locked in, everybody was fully committed, everybody did the best they could in every circumstance. We chased perfection as best we could. We're going to try to do the same throughout the course of the season. Like I told the guys, we're going to play Thursday night against the Chiefs. We've been pointed toward that the whole, off season, of course, since the schedule came out. But after that game, we get in that locker room, we come back Friday from that game, there's going to be another game in front of us. It's going to be the Raiders. That's an ongoing process, so I think we continue on. It's not like all of a sudden we have to make cuts and we haven't been thinking about it. We've been thinking about it really every day. So we have a very good idea where we're at. There are moving parts. We do have a plan for that. I think it's still going to remain to be seen because it's still in experimental stages right now. But we kind of got some clues as far as what type of body types we want in different spots and bigger, smaller, faster, all those kind of things, hopefully, and we'll just see how it plays out. I like the guys in-house. We'll be open to anything. I mean, if the right player becomes available, I'm quite sure Eric will be looking at him. But, people aren't in the habit of getting rid of really great players right before the season starts.
All right, that's John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach, yesterday met with the media as the Ravens now have completed their preseason. Cut down day is 4 o'clock, or the deadline, 4 o'clock this afternoon. And what he was talking about there is, will the Ravens explore options outside the organization at running back? Owen Wright goes down with a broken foot Saturday in that debacle at Lambeau Field. And it looked as though, Vinny, you've been at camp many times, that he had passed Rasheen Ali as the number three guy. But you had said all along they were probably looking to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
Anyway, I saw Matt Breida was released by San Francisco yesterday, so he could be an option. John Harbaugh basically saying everything's kind of on the table in regards to having a third running back behind Derrick Henry and Justice Hill.
Now, Bob, if I recall right, nor maybe you maybe remember too, didn't Harb say, I don't know, a week ago or whatever, Bob, that we feel like we have all the in-house answers here? I felt like he said that, but, now things definitely do change. I think, Bob, I think that Leary showed he can't play. I don't want to develop him. What do I got to develop? A turnover machine? So I'm going to be looking for on my practice squad for a quarterback. Running back, I'm looking for my third running back. And I keep saying, if there's a blocking tight end, I'm going to add that to my team because I that's where I'm lacking. I mean, I like Charlie Kolar and all, but he's not a knock you off the ball. He's not like Oliver was. Oliver was a stud. And they normally have had that type of guy, but they don't. Is Patrick Ricard going to take all those reps? Basically a lot when he's in there, are you signaling that, runtime and those type? You can't have, your best two weapons at likely and Andrews in there. So defensively, there's no room at the end. Defensively, Bob, but there's room at the end offensively to add people.
And you mentioned the kid from Kentucky, Emory Jones. Leary. Yeah, he was released yesterday. So you're down to, three. Josh Johnson is going to be the backup quarterback. I don't think there's anything to dispute that notion. But there's some interesting things to take care of here. And, even Leary's got the big arm, but he threw two picks Saturday.
And a fumble.
Yeah, and that's kind of his M.O. at University of Kentucky as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's why, Bob, there'll be guys out there. Maybe you add him to the practice squad till you replace him, if you hadn't replaced him by the time. But I'm sure they're going to be scouring the waiver wire for a quarterback. And I would think, that they would find a running back on the waiver wire. There's going to be, and here's the problem, Bob, is In the waiver wire, it's the draft selection. So they're picking 30th on the wire. So a lot of times, and I wouldn't be shocked if Eric doesn't trade, you know, a 7th round pick or something, you know, maybe like a 7 if. And what's a 7 if? 7, we'll give you a 7 if, you know, like we trade for the guy. If he's on our team for 3 games, we'll give you a 7th round pick in 2025, something like that, to protect yourself a little bit.
Now, Jeff Zrebeck brought up an interesting point on The Athletic about that third running back. Early in the season, do the Ravens really need one right now? Because figure Henry's going to get the bulk of the carries.
Right.
Hill's obviously number two. And Lamar could be running back-like if the situation calls for it.
The only thing I would say about that, Bob, is if Justice Hill, you know, and he's on all teams and stuff too, what if he gets nicked in a game? Who's coming in?
Right.
You're going to put a receiver there? And you know, that's the only thing. I think you need a third. And we've heard Harb say the third on the team this year, the third running back, you know, last year was Justice Hill because they had, you know, they had Edwards and they had
Dobbins.
You know, and then Hill was a third guy. But he would come in and passing and that type of stuff. The third guy this year is special team guy only, that type of guy. So I just think that, Bob, that they need a guy who's got some speed. I mean, the guys that they had on the roster, to me, they're just kind of guys. You know, I don't – unless one was like a spectacular special teamer, okay? But otherwise – if I can find a guy better on the way, and I'm asking my guys out there, is he better than any of our, is he better than Ollie? Yeah. We got three that are better than Ollie. Well, that's easy then. Because here's what the pro guys are doing. They probably evaluated a lot of these guys and stuff, and they have a board up, Bob. They would have a board up of guys that could help your team, whether it be roster, practice squad, better than what we've got. And then you try to go after those guys if possible. You put in a claim form or you try to make a trade if you really feel that guy's a huge upgrade.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. So cut down is 4 o'clock this afternoon. We'll be getting all sorts of transactions. We'll share them for you as our show rolls through the morning into said afternoon. You want to join us, you can at Fortet 583-1057. And if you look at the Ravens and their projected 53... the major weakness is still the O-line.
No doubt.
The uncertainty with the pass rush. And I got the text about the duos.
Yes.
I was asleep, by the way, when you sent that. But it is. Ravens aren't even sniffing that sort of thing because who can you really project to get double-digit sacks outside of maybe Justin Madubuike? And as I've said all offseason long, now into the start of the regular season, I don't see 13 sacks.
Right.
Maybe 9 or 10, perhaps?
Bob, the reason I sent you, it's an article on ESPN, I think it was, the top 10 pass rush duos
right.
in 2024. And if you noticed, number one is Pittsburgh, number two is the Browns, three is the Cowboys, who they play third.
Right.
You know, and then the Chiefs, who they play, and then the Bengals. Three in the division, top two, you know, duos. With an offensive line that is shaky. That was the thing that I know.
Sure.
It's like, holy cow. You know, and it's not just one guy you got to worry about. It's a duo of pass rushers. And Kansas City's got two. You know, they got an inside guy to, you know, which is probably even worse because they got an inside guy over your two young guards. And they got a Karloftis who'll be over Rosengarten.
So the Ravens going up against some stout pass rushers, pass rush teams with an offensive line that is somewhat suspect, to say the least. Look, Tyler Linderbaum just came back. We think Ronnie Stanley, because he said it, and I'll believe him. He's as healthy as he's been in 5 years,
yeah.
Which would be great to see. But other than that, some giant questions. They got Riddlers on the offensive line. They're dressed up like the dude from Batman at left guard, and right tackle, we think.
Yeah, and you know, watching the Green Bay game, I mean, those guys played, 15 to 20 snaps each, those guys. And Bob, and we've talked about it all three preseason games. They do some good things, but a lot of bad things. The bad thing is playing against backups. They're not playing the starters yet. So that it's going to be interesting. I mean, Todd Monken's got his work cut out for him because he's got to, his game planning early in the year is got to be really thinking about, okay, my line. You know, I'm going to have to, Ricard, I'm going to have chips, and I got to have all those types of things. And I hope that Ronnie can hold up. You know, if Ronnie can anchor, that takes away one of the issues that I've got.
And tragic news coming out of Ravens camp over the weekend. Joe DeLisandris, O-line coach, passed away at the age of 70. And I guess, Vinny, he kind of came out of nowhere. And he was at OTAs. He was at minicamp.
He was at training camp.
Yeah, and then... you know, took the leave of absence, and now no longer with us. Horrible, horrible news.
Yeah, it was. You know, and the thing about Joe, I wish I, because, you know, I keep seeing stories about Joe D and players responding about Joe D. I didn't know Joe D. He was from Aliquippa, PA, which I didn't know. I wish I would have got to know him, because he sounds like a phenomenal dude, and he was a good, he'd been the coach there since 17, so he'd coached a lot of good players, and he was the O-line coach when they had the best run game in the history of the league. So, yeah, it's a sad thing. Because, Bob, he had a surgery after minicamp, similar to mine, from what I was told. And he was at training camp, because I remember why I was watching him, because what do I spend all my time at training camp? Watching the O-line. So he's out there, and one day, Joe D's not here today. And then he wasn't there the next day, and then Harbs talks about, you know, he was in the hospital, and then 2 weeks later, he's gone. I mean, that was like a total shock to me.
Yeah, Ravens are going to dedicate this 2024 season to Joe DeLisandris and Jacoby Jones, two unexpected and way too early losses to the Ravens family. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It is turning up Tuesday. Going to crank it up to 12. Send your song request, Plaza Sport text line. Nolan McGraw is waiting for you. Orioles out west, taking on the Dodgers. Dodgers starting to percolate at the right time. Orioles just kind of mired in this mediocrity. It was that Saturday's game. A lot of buzz, a lot of excitement in that one. As Jackson Holliday got his first hit in forever. Kind of been his only hit.
1-for-20.
It is forever. But we'll get into that. But the Birds come in here 2 games back of the Yankees, who win out of D.C. against the Nats last night. We were talking about this before the show started. Nolan, we'll revisit when we come back from the break. It looks like the 6 playoff teams in the American League might be separating themselves. And fortunately for us, the Orioles are going to be one of them.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
David Evans joining us top of the hour, athletic director, University of Maryland. He'll be a weekly on Wednesdays, correct, Nolan?
That's correct. Just special occasion this week, okay. Tuesday.
As Maryland opens their season this Saturday at noon, taking on UConn, Terps are 20.5-point favorites against Jim Mora Jr. And as Huskies coming off a 3-9, but you know he's a good coach and he'll have them leveling up here sooner rather than later. For Maryland, a lot of uncertainty surrounding the team this year, offensive line, quarterback. I mean, they've got skill positions at wide receiver, tight end, running back. How they looking defensively, because games always won in the trenches, and it seems as though that Maryland seems to be somewhat undermanned in the trenches. Then you look at the NFL, and they got a ton of Maryland dudes on both sides of the line on rosters, and if not competing for roster spots. But 8-5 last season, did win their bowl game over Auburn convincingly. Expanded Big Ten. They're picked to finish near the bottom of it, and rightfully so. And we'll talk to Damon about that. He got a contract extension. We'll congratulate him and see what the NIL initiative is looking like there, too, because it's all about the dough. And Maryland does have, looking at their recruiting class, Gilchrist, DeLome, Malik Washington from Spalding, right down the road from me, Zamir Smith, Jet White. They got 4 4-star guys for 25.
Yeah, which is not the norm for the Terps.
Yeah, Loxley's usually good at the flippage.
Yep.
at the last minute. My concern, as we've made clear, Vinny, and used to recruit, but the landscape's definitely changed since you were at Notre Dame. All right, until they sign. I mean, this committing to things is all great, but until that name's on the NIL, I'm not buying it. And even then, somebody might try to buy you away after a year or two. Look at Chop Robinson bouncing after a year plus at Maryland.
And Bob, look at the, I think, the article on ESPN either yesterday or today. Look at what $20 million can buy you. You know, Ohio State's trying to buy a national championship. They spent $20 million in NIL money. You know, when other teams, Maryland, I'll bet you if they have $3 million, they're lucky.
Yeah.
Type thing. So, you know, it's the haves and the have-nots, and Ohio State's trying to do everything they can to win. And like you said, Bob, a kid commits, and if you got a four-star, that it doesn't end. That's just the beginning. Oh,
you think the schools have stopped recruiting Malik Washington because he committed 2 months ago?
No way. And they're just going to up the ante. That's what they're going to do. And they're going to pay, you know, whatever it is, $1.5 million. I mean, I had one coach tell me the going rate is $1.5 million for a quarterback.
Per season?
Yes.
That's more than rookies make in the National Football
League. Right, that's why guys want to stay 5 years.
It's Vinny and Andy, 105.7 The Fan. We'll talk to Damon about the upcoming season. Also get into what else is happening down in College Park as we're, you know, hey, look, Labor Day's this weekend, everybody. Orioles are in L.A. taking on the Dodgers. We'll talk to Bill Plunkett later on in the program. He covers them for the Orange County Register. They're the best team in baseball, I guess. And Arizona, the Padres are breathing down their neck. So that NL West is starting to look really, really good. But the Birds, they split with Houston. Sunday was kind of a typical Oriole game.
Yep.
Offense, non-existent until Urias hits a three-run homer. Then the bullpen, Birch Beer gives up back-to-back homers. And then that was kind of all she wrote. The Orioles go quietly into the night. I was there Saturday when Jackson Holliday got the bases clearing double. But they hadn't done anything offensively prior to that.
Bob, in person, the Couser play, how good was that?
That was baseball IQ at the highest form and hustle.
Yeah.
On top of everything. It was Oriole Hall of Fame Day as well. So it was a great atmosphere. Got a soccer shirt that I could never wear under. Nice. If I was like 14, I could probably wear it. But current day, Bob's not fitting into that thing. And then Friday, Anthony Santander's grand slam. A brilliant victory. But they're a losing team for over 2 months now. And the injuries are piling up. Ryan Mountcastle, he's on the IL. Who knows what's going to happen with Cedric Mullins. I mean, they're banged up and banged up in a big way. The rotation problems have been well documented. The inconsistencies of the offense, they built up enough equity to probably get into the playoffs. I mean, they're 8.5 up on Boston, for instance, the team that's on the outside looking in of the wild card. Oh, still only 2 out of the division. But how much more can they take? And I mean, Cole Irvin's on the hill tonight. Dodgers are really good, and they're getting healthier, at least in the lineup, it seems. I mean, how much more can they take from that sort of perspective, banged up arms? And then if Cole Irvin does give you some quality, you get any run support. And if it's a close game, what's happening in the bullpen?
Yeah.
I don't think we can answer those questions right now.
The thing we talked about yesterday, Bob, is like your pitching staff is kind of on fumes. And then you're off. The pitchers have to be so perfect right now because the bats aren't
good. We talked about that Friday. It's like, what does everyone feel as though they have to go out and pitch a perfect game?
Yep.
You give up a 2-run homer in the third inning, you're down 2-0. I mean, that was Suarez on Saturday, as a matter of fact. And it doesn't help that Corbin Burns' earned run average is pushing 6 since the All-Star break. But yet, here they are, still within striking distance of winning the division. But, yeah, tough task against the Dodgers, starting tonight at 10:10. So, Nolan McGraw, get in here. How you feeling about our Birds going out to L.A. and then Colorado before they come back home next week when September will be upon us, believe it or not?
That's right. Big opportunity here. Back-to-back tough series. Astros, arguably, or a lot of people were calling them the best in the American League going into that series. No doubt, record-wise, the Dodgers are the best in the National League. And they'll be facing a familiar face tonight, Jack Flaherty, pitching for the Dodgers.
Your boy.
That's right. Well, he is on my fantasy team, so I'll take a no-hitter.
Look at you being all selfish.
It's fantasy playoffs right now. I'll take the no-hitter. But we all know what's going to happen.
No hitter. He throws a no hitter. I'm going to be cussing on the air tomorrow.
Well, I'm sure he's going to have a dominant outing against the Orioles, showing them.
I don't see why, though. And we always try to connect dots where he feels like the Orioles did him wrong. He came in here and basically stunk for 2 months. So I don't know why he'd have an issue with the Orioles unless he felt as though he wasn't welcomed in the clubhouse or didn't get the necessary tutoring that he needed. He's had a really good year. He's going to hit free agency, so somebody will pay him, we guess. But I don't think he would go up against the Orioles with any sort of revenge in mind.
No, I mentioned that not from a revenge standpoint, just simply a Orioles luck standpoint, a go figure standpoint.
And you to be mean honest, like Eric Getty, looking like Nolan Ryan last week, that sort of thing?
Well, I mean, Flaherty has had good numbers this year, so maybe it's kind of the opposite. The Orioles struggle against pitchers you think they would typically dominate, and they do well against guys that have more of an ace caliber, or at least they did earlier in the season, so we'll see what happens tonight.
Yeah, Dodgers' best record in baseball. We sit here on Tuesday, the 27th of August.
Well, Bob, how about the top of that lineup that they have? I mean, they got... You know, three former MVPs in a row.
Yeah.
With Freeman and Betts.
And Freeman's not even having that great of a year. He's having a good year, and he's dealing with off-the-field problems. And, you know, we wish him the best there. And Betts missed, 2 months of the season? And they have some other contributors to the cause as well. So it's Dodgers-Orioles rematch of the 1966 World Series, won by the Orioles at four straight, coming up at 10:10. And I think we can all admit 10:10 Tuesday night games, not exactly an ideal situation for people to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning like I do.
It's not a friendly deal, no.
What really sucks is Thursday. I mean, all right, games 1 and 2, I get it, they're night games, but you don't even get the day game on getaway day Thursday?
Yeah.
That's 10:10 as well?
Yeah, who can we call to complain? Let's go. Let's
Manfred.
Go. Get Manfred's ass on the phone so we can yell at him among there are a lot of things to yell at him about. It's video at 81057. The Fan, you want to vent about the Orioles? They're two games out of first. They're in a very comfortable position right now with the American League wild card, but still you want to strive to get to where you need to get to. Are they good enough to do so? I think if you look at the roster right now, I think they are what they are. And right now it's a 500 team that can't string together wins. Am I wrong? Ravens' expectations high for them. If they're looking to add, you're the GM, people. What are you adding to the Baltimore roster ahead of September 5th at Kansas City? Taking on the Dodgers, Jack Flaherty against Cole Irvin. Orioles 76-56, two games out in the East. Strong position in the wild card in the American League. If the Orioles do make it to the postseason, this will be the first time since 96-97. They have gone back-to-back years, and as I've mentioned many times, if they could somehow win the division, which is not impossible, be first time in 50 years they've done that, 73 and 74. Ravens start their season in less than 2 weeks against the Kansas City Chiefs. Cut-down day is rolling along. One of his favorite former Ravens receivers, Miles Boykin, looks like he's going in New York with the Giants.
Guess they're not looking for a blocker, Bob.
But Tyus Bowser is going to visit the Dallas Cowboys there.
Yeah, I mean, if he was a good player, but he was always hurt, you know, after he got paid. So, Bob, I hope the kid's healthy and he's got a chance, but we'll see. We'll see. I mean, all of a sudden, he must have just got healthy is what the deal is.
Because he hasn't played in pretty much 2 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook visiting Dallas, too.
Yeah, that's a WC. Who cares? You know, I mean, I didn't think he had any burst left. And I don't think a lot of people did.
Well, there's a reason Minnesota jettisoned him before the season even started. But we'll keep you up to date. It's cut down day, 4 o'clock. It's the deadline, National Football League, as teams try to get themselves down to 53 before we get out to the phones at 410-583-1057. I mean, you got the CeeDee Lamb just signed his extension. Ayuk still waiting. Same Trent Williams in San Francisco. What's going to be happening here in regards to that sort of thing is, you know, the season's about to start. And a lot of guys, or a few, haven't even participated in training camp yet. So how are they going to be ready for the start of the year? Extensions or trades? Could we see that here in the next couple of days?
Well, Trent Williams, they're gonna get him done. I mean, he's the best left tackle in football, and that's And the drop-off from who their guy is to Trent Williams is huge. So, Bob, none of those guys want to miss game checks. Game checks are big checks. You know, like preseason checks are not that much. But Trent Williams missing a game check, I think I heard like $1 million a week.
What?
Yeah.
What was that? What?
Yeah, like $1 million a week. I mean, that's hard to make up just sitting at home. So I think they'll get something done with him. Ayuk, I think Ayuk is where, you know, the Niners have made him an offer, and they let him go out and search, and nobody was willing to pay him $30 million or more. So, you know, the Niners are telling him, the market is what the market is. You know, this is we would let you go out and see what the market was, and you came back, and we got the market. So I don't know what's going to happen with that one. With Chase, Bob, Chase is another one doesn't want to miss those paychecks. And I can understand the Browns or the Bengals on this one is all those other guys, Ayuk and CeeDee Lamb, they got 1 year left. Chase has got two.
Sure.
So, like they say, if we do a guy with two, then, you know, all the guys with two years left, they're going to be standing at the door. Hey, you did one, you know, so you opened the door. I mean, so I don't think he's going to get paid. The Browns are different than everybody else.
Bengals.
Or Bengals.
Yeah, they're a little more frugal.
Well, it's Brown. Yeah. Brown's the owner.
The Brown.
Yeah. But, yeah, they're more frugal. No doubt about it.
Let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057. It's the number. It's Vinny and Haney. Turn it up Tuesday. Nolan, he's over there. Orioles were off yesterday. Yankees won down at D.C. So their lead in the AL East is now two games. Go to Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, what's up?
Bob, Vinny, what's good?
What's happening with you?
All right, man, not much, man. I'm just counting down the hours, man. Then it's vacation time for me. No,
you're always on vacation, dude.
No, this is a real vacation. Them weekend trips to see a game or two don't count, man. You know, this is a good.
Are you going to L.A.?
Yeah, I'm making a pit stop in L.A. to see the Dodgers and O's, and then we're going to hit my way over to Hawaii. So, yeah.
The O's are playing in Hawaii?
Wait, hold on. This is why my gas on electric bill is $400 now, isn't it, Rashawn? So pay you flying around like the Brady Bunch and all that good stuff.
Hey, don't worry. Mine's up there, too, so you don't get no type of discount, nothing like that.
I hear you.
Yeah, but, yeah, people were saying, like, man, you might as well to skip L.A., man, go straight to Hawaii, the way the O's been playing, you know, and everybody hurts.
I want to go to L.A.
Well, Cole Urban might have something for us, you know what I mean?
Oh, my God, yeah. No. I just got to get the stadium off my list. I always want to see Dodger Stadium.
Nolan was just there.
I think he was telling me down there at Pickles Friday, too. Yeah, he told me about it. So he told me paid like $20 for a Miller Lite or something like that.
What?
You know, so it was
he said,
crazy,
make sure
man.
You get seven Dodger dogs.
Hey, when I was there, gas was $6.19.
$6.19.
Yeah.
Golly, man. That's LA for you.
All
know?
Right. What's on your mind, Rashawn? Let's get to the sports subject. Acting like a Rockefeller over here.
Like I said, this West Coast trip with the Olds, listen, if they can go 500, that'd be a victory for me, you know, because I'm thinking they might get swept in LA. Because I know tonight is not going to be pretty with Jack on the mound, and we got Cole Irvin who might give us four innings. And then we got to rely on that bullpen. So we know how that's going to
end. When did Jack Flaherty become Don Drysdale all of a sudden? I'm not conceding this one at all. I think the bats are due to wake up at some point.
Oh,
right?
Sure. You know, they gave us two hits on national TV Sunday night. Two lousy hits at home. So we're seeing, I guess, tomorrow on the mound, it'd be Corbett Burns, right?
And well, he's due.
Oh, my God. He's definitely due. So, we'll see. Just don't give up too many of them to Ohtani, you know, man. But like I said, if they can just sneak out of L.A. with one and get two out of three in Colorado, I accept that because I already know we're not going to win the division. So, I just don't want to lose this wild card. And all these players on the IL, man, every week is somebody different. Hey, Bob, down there at Pickles Friday.
Yes.
I was like, what? I think y'all broke the news to me about Mountcastle. I'm like, Mountcastle out? He was like, yeah, Mountcastle out. I'm
Wrist, and I think it was on a slide, if I'm not mistaken, and Mullins is dealing with a quad.
Mullins was out. I'm like, come on, man.
Their injury list, if you want to make excuses, the Orioles have them, but right now we don't want to hear them. All right, Rashawn, we got to go. Have a safe trip out to L.A. Get a Dodger dog. Nolan said he'll pay you when you get back. There's Rashawn. We got time for another call, Nolan. You make the call on the call. Let's go to Owings Mills. It's Brian. Brian, what's happening?
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back, Bob. Man, you the man, Bob.
Yeah,
hey.
I gotta go back to the. Hey, I'll talk about it later. What's up, Brian? Okay. Good to hear from you.
I'm good, man. Cordell yesterday was covering for you. I hung up the phone. He says, oh, it's hard to get back today. Is he talking? No, it's not. They did it in 2011 and 2012. Stop making excuses for this dude. I'm telling you, don't get it done. You out of here. That's how it goes. Coffee's for closers, man. Now, the reason why I'm calling is because I be laughing at ESPN. They talking about the Jets aren't getting respect. They're bums. No respect here. They don't deserve any respect. They haven't won since 69, and they got a quarterback that hasn't won in 13 years. Why are you overrating this team? They're garbage. And the last but not least, I like when I think, what's his name? Q went on their, what's his name? The radio guy, Jim Rome show. What an idiot. He didn't even know what he was there to talk about. He asked him about Aaron Rodgers. He said, well, I don't want to talk about him. He said, okay, well, let's talk about what you want to talk about. He couldn't even talk about his bitch. Ridiculous, y'all. Y'all have a good one.
Brian, coming out strong. What did I miss?
I think there was a Glengarry Glenn Ross reference in there. Coffees for closers?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. There was a whole lot going on.
Alec Baldwin wearing like $5 million watches. So what happened with the – yes, getting to the AFC Championship game back-to-back years is hard.
No doubt about it.
It's been done before, but over a decade ago. And what was the other one about the Jets?
Well, Q did call yesterday with his usual Q topics.
Okay.
Boasting
Yankees.
About the Jets.
Orioles suck and the Ravens suck.
You got
it. Okay, there we go.
The long and short of it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess Brian was rubbed the wrong way.
Right. You know, rubbing the wrong way can be irritating, as we all know. But anyway, all of these questions about football going to be answered here shortly. The Orioles, they're going to have to answer some questions. I don't know if things are as dire as Rashawn said. They're going to go out there and get swept by the Dodgers, but you know, if they do, are we going to be shocked on Friday when we reconvene for the program then? But if they win 2 out of 3, are we going to be shocked? No. I mean, this is a team that has won more than it's lost for over 2 calendar years, but for over 2 calendar months, they've been a losing team. And they're still in a very good spot to get into the postseason, but they've been decimated by injuries. They need studs to start playing like studs in the final 5 weeks of the regular season. You want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. We got Damon Evans, Athletic Director, University of Maryland, top of the hour. Terps UConn at noon down at CQ Stadium. Maryland looking to get to a bowl game for the 4th straight year. Maybe go to a fancier one. Can they do it? A week from today, Dirty Dozen, Feeble Five.
Cool.
A week from today.
Damn.
And then in 9 days, Ravens taking on the Kansas City Chiefs, rematch of last year's AFC Championship game. All the pomp and circumstance that goes along with that. So football, it's here. I mean, we have games in the books, but Maryland taking on UConn. We'll talk about that with Damon Evans. Got the whip around 11:15. U.S. Open tennis. Another sign that Labor Day is upon us. Yeah. That has started some success both for the men and women. USA first round. Ryan Ripken talking about the Orioles and Dodgers with him. Bottom of the hour. But let's get out to the phones if we can. Let's go to Mount Airy. Bring in George. George, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Yeah, I want to get through a couple things real quick. One is a bunch of complaining about the Oriole injuries. You know, part of the game, get over it, adapt or die. Second thing is they'll be lucky to make it past the divisional round. Depending on who they get in the wild card round, I can see them bowing out at that point in time.
Okay.
The real reason I wanted to call was about Tony Taters and Corbin Burns. I'm so happy that the new ownership team took over. But if they're truly doing a new chapter of Orioles baseball, they got to sign these people. It's that simple. You know, Taters is probably, what, 20 a year for 5 years? And Burns is probably in the 35 range for at least that long? So, you know, that's really what I wanted to say. And if you guys want to comment, I would appreciate your feedback.
All right. Well, thank you. For a lot of positivity there. George, if they make the playoffs, they're not going to last long. You can't use injuries as an excuse, even though their injury list is pretty extensive. Let's be fair here. I mean, you take Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, and, you know, Gerrit Cole out of the Yankee lineup for 2 months or four-fifths of their starting rotation for, you know, the rest of a season, and we'll see how they navigate that. But your point is taken. They're still all-stars in this lineup on a nightly basis, and Corbin Burns hasn't pitched all that great as of late. And hopefully Zach Eplin will be back when he's due to return from the IL coming up this weekend before they come home for the White Sox. And here's another thing, by the way. All right, struggle against the LA, you get it. Most teams struggle against them as of late. They have the best record in baseball. You better win 2 out of 3 in Colorado, and the White Sox should be, you know,
got to sweep
them. Get them on out of here. Break out the Swiffer for them. Now, signing Burns and Santander is going to be a lot harder than it appears. Both apparently like it here. Santander's made it on record that he wants to stay. Remember, he was developed by the Orioles. World 5 draft pick out of Cleveland 8 years ago. Dealt with shoulder problems, other injury issues, but he is really, I mean, does he hit for average? No. On-base percentage isn't that great, but the power numbers speak for themselves. Switch-hitting power dudes who could play above-average defense are going to be well sought after.
And clutch.
Corbin Burns is an ace. But he's going to test the market, and rightfully so. He's from California. He lives in Arizona. The Athletic did an interview with him. You weren't here Friday, where he basically said, I want to sign somewhere where the entirety of my career in said town, we're competing for championships. And that could be Baltimore. Question is, how much are they willing to spend to keep him around? And I, not that David Rubenstein or Mike Elias are going to ask my opinion, I'm against long-term deals for pitchers. I mean, sooner or later, the bottom's going to fall out with injuries. And he has been as solid and reliable as hitting the post as any in baseball.
And
but 7-8 years for a starting pitcher at crazy money? I don't know, man.
Well, if he continues as is, you know, if he continues kind of struggle like he's been at towards the end of the year here, I'm not giving him a long-term deal either.
This is an aberration. This is not the norm. This is a blip on the radar screen. I mean, the previous start was the worst start of his career.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's how many years in with already Cy Youngs and multiple all-star appearances? This is just a bump in the road. This isn't the norm. It would be like saying, hey, if Lamar sucks in December, I'm not giving him a long-term deal. You built up this track record of a success, which says that's going to be more of the norm than what you've seen. By the way, basically two starts.
Mm-hmm.
Not a continuous thing. It's been two below average starts and one really bad start. So, Nolan, what do you think? 100 mil for Tony Taters? When if they would have listened to me, they could have got it for 60 in 3 years?
Right.
Back in February?
If only they had listened.
Yeah, you should have listened to me.
If only Tony had listened.
And I bet he would have taken that, too.
Who knows? Well, he's certainly in line for a lot more now. I think 20 a year is probably putting it lightly. That's kind of your baseline. And it's looking with every passing week that it's going to be much more upwards of that. And Burns, I mean, I don't know if there's a fair comparable for him in recent history for pitching contracts. I guess Zach Wheeler might come to mind. And that was a 3-year deal, if I'm not mistaken. So you don't have to go super long term with these pitching deals. Big name guys will sign for 3 years, but it's going to be max value for 3 years.
And now, not just with pitchers, with every player, opt-outs. All right, I'll sign. I mean, Correa did with Minnesota, then found the takers were tepid, and then he had injury problems, re-signed with the Twins. I mean, they have these opt-outs, too. And after the beating that Scott Boras took last offseason with the free agents, you think he's going to let Burns lose in this equation? I don't think so.
Well, it's been a couple of years in a row with the Boras stuff, where they've really pushed the limits of when guys are signing. I mean, this past year, guys not signing until the regular season started.
And
that's detrimental. It's detrimental for a pitcher. I mean, a position player, you need ramp-up time. Everyone needs ramp-up time, but pitchers especially. I mean, Blake Snell wasn't himself until close to midway through the season.
Yeah, but he had that interesting contract with that $30 million option that prevented him from getting traded. Then he threw a no-hitter on top of that. We'll come back, ramp up the Maryland football talk with Damon Evans, athletic director, University of Maryland Terrapins. Whip around 11:15, what's going on in the world of sports current day and historically. And then Ryan Ripken, talk to him about the Orioles going into L.A., taking on the Dodgers. Orioles two back of the Yankees, still comfortable in the wild card in the American League, but are we happy with comfortable? And I don't think we are.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.